Hello, freaks. Welcome to Radical Research.
That's the first song from This Day Forward, song also called From This Day Forward by Canada's Oblivion. O-B-L-I-V-E-O-N, to separate themselves from the like 36 other Oblivions that were around this time. I mean, no joke. Check out Metal Archives. There have been a lot of Oblivions.
Yep.
There he is. There's Hunter, the Biscuit, waiting to chime in on Oblivion. How you doing?
I am what... To quote Jason Walton, I am pleaser than a two-ass duck at a butt parade.
Pleaser.
Pleaser than a two-ass duck at a butt parade.
Pleaser than a two-ass duck at a butt parade. Well, that
apparently that is a Montanan colloquialism. And I want to say, if anyone who has followed us these past 7 years, Jeff, 7 years we've been doing this, man.
That's crazy.
What about that day? It's insane. But if anyone has wondered over these past 7 years my religious orientation, it is about to be outlined for you, because I practice the religion as prescribed by the first two Oblivion records.
I love that about you. It's weird. I'm not sure I can go that with that degree of hyperbole,
this
but
is,
I'm pretty.
Oh yeah, I can. And
I'm
and
pretty
I
close.
Do
I'm
it
pretty.
without hesitation. Yeah. This
You
is
know, I'm a huge,
everything that I believe in music and life and the universe.
and certainly metal in general, one of our very, of course, favorite genres. I mean, not bad, these guys. No, they're incredible. I've been into them since the first album. Got the promo 90, let's see, was it 92? Four songs that ended up on Nemesis. That was the thing that really got me. We'll get there, because we're going to go in order. We're only talking about the first two Oblivion records
Bullshit,
on.
man. Dude. I am pure envy there.
Yeah, I wish I still had that tape, but it came out with an actual J card with art. I just had sort of a dub copy. I'm pretty sure Eula Garrett was probably the one that got it for me. But before we get back to Oblivion, if you can believe it, after listening to the first few minutes of this show, people do pay us through Patreon sometimes. It's a set it and forget it sort of thing. We appreciate what people do. It's patreon.com/radicalresearchpodcast. All you have to do is just set up a $5, $10, or $20 a month donation. At this point, we're not even giving extra stuff, though I think that's in the offing, but I never want to promise that until we actually do it. But it's just a matter of support and a means of support. We appreciate it.
Very much so. We appreciate it.
And I want to shout out James Landry, who is one of the recent donors. Thank you, James. You can go to radicalresearch.org to check out all our past episodes, every single one, and also Soul on Fire book, my Peter Steele biography. Deserts of Hex number 2 sold out. Fate's Warning book is sold out for now. I'll reprint it later this year. And I'm shopping printers in the UK and the US for the Voivod book. So that is actually happening sometime this year. It's going to be a real thing. I keep saying it every year, but this is the year. Do you believe me, Hunter?
I do believe you. And yeah, I do. And Thomas Knoll and I and our cadre of misfits, Paul Stolp, Forrest Pitts, Ryan Madsen. We are in the incubation phases of the third issue of Deserts. So
will there be, and I'm asking because I don't know, will there be a long discussion of a band's discography the way there was with the Decibel Omega?
Yep. And this, and this one's going to be Norwegian.
You don't want to say it yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
It's going to be a Norweird band, and probably going to reach out to some of the members of that band, hopefully, and get some insight. I think it's going to be we're going to blow out the production budget on this issue. 200 pages, a little bit bigger, but yeah, we're going to go all in.
Deserts of Hex twin sister.
Yep. Actually, I can go ahead and tell you what it's going to be called. It's going to be called Inverted Chords and Augmented Crosses.
I love it. Oh, that's awesome. And here's the point in the episode where I ask you privately, which Norweird band? Oh, well, that's a fucking great choice. Are you doing the entire discography?
Whole thing.
Let's go back to Oblivion. You know, you're already like down to your underwear, Hunter, over there in Savannah. Let's give a little background. It came out in 1990 on Active Records. Came out on the heels of a highly regarded 89 demo, Fiction or Veracity. That demo consisted of 6 songs on the debut, recorded in October 89. So it's one of those, this is one of those albums from this day forward that was not only started as a demo, but, you know, the tracks were basically from that demo.
Yeah, and the demo was very fully formed, too.
Very fully formed. That's why the demo, I remember reading, like, you know, the zines in the day, and of course Metal Forces too, and I think everybody was all over that demo when it came out. I didn't even have a copy. I waited for the album, but I, you know, I got the same thing basically, plus From This Day Forward, the title track, which we just opened the show with, like, that was recorded 6 months after the rest of this. But yeah, they put these 7 songs total out as the album. Where do they put this thing? I mean, it's Canadian. What, I'm just going to let you go. Let's try to sum up Oblivion, what their place was in metal and music in 1990.
Well, I mean, that's the thing about the first two Oblivion albums is that they, you know, it's, you can situate it in sort of a thrash tradition, but it's not that. And Nemesis is even more difficult because it's a little deathlier. But it's just this sort of like tradition of cosmic metal, you know, but it's also, it seems to come out of nowhere the way that, say, Nothing Face does. And I know there are precedents, and it's, you know, we could find a family tree if we needed to, but it just seems so fresh and so vibrant in its own way. And anytime I listen to those two albums, I never think about anything that came before it or anything that influenced it. It just sounds like Oblivion.
It's interesting. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the beer game here was like, how long is it going to take for them to like mention Voivod? And then like, how many times are we going to say Voivod during the show? Cause I think, you know, and that's the drinking game. Like
it's impossible when talking about, you know, progressive, genuinely progressive Canadian metal. But I don't like even, I think it does a disservice to Oblivion to talk about them just as Canadian metal, like, or
well, totally. Because we hear Mental Vortex era Coroner there. You know, I feel like those bands, Coroner and Oblivion, were moving in the similar direction from 90 to 93.
I guess it's sort of the noise record spore.
Yeah, there's a bit of that. And so they get global just with the comparison to Korn. Plus, as you say, this is nothing but oblivion. You can look for influences. There are obviously, Metallica influences, when Metallica would get, their most technical on a Justice or Master. And then there's sort of this deep well of, you can tell they're probably deep listeners even at this point. I know that the demo before this was, for my liking, and I love Sepultura and I love 89 era Sepultura, but it was very late 80s Sepultura. Oblivion became Oblivion with the Fiction of Veracity demo, no doubt. And that's, and I, again, I, I remember the splash that made when it came out. Like, this was a demo people were actually really talking about. It was kind of a thing. You can see why. You'll hear why. This is a song called Fiction of Veracity. Now, Hunter, I want you to comment on this once we come back.
Because you've never heard me talk about this song, right?
Yeah, because I'm t completely tired of you talking about Fiction of Veracity, man. Like,
We've been talking.
it.
How long have we been friends now? Let's see, 24 years.
Yeah.
And I think I've pretty much talked to you about fiction. There's the key change on that Talisman song on
Yes. Right. I'll get some like 10:30 p.m. text, which in your life at any time is very late, right? So like, and you'll be like, the talisman key change. I'll be like, holy shit, he's at it again.
so good.
Is so good.
Like, there are these certain things, man. It's like, my life depends on these things.
Well, Fiction of Veracity is one of those, because yeah, the what, 3 times a year, the triannual text about Fiction of Veracity from you.
Well, all right,
I might be
all right. Well,
exaggerating, but
yeah, well, you know what? It'll only be two this year. We can just kind of shore this up right now.
we'll count this one. Yeah, this is so,
All right.
this is the longest song Oblivion ever recorded at 8.5 minutes. It has this curious break right in the middle where it feels like it ends and another totally new song begins.
Yeah.
That got me for a long time, even with the knowledge of like how long the song was. I was like, it doesn't sound right. I mean, I'm not criticizing it. I think it's cool. It's strange that they
Well,
arranged it
but
that
they were
way.
always a very con they, like they wrote very tight songs, generally speaking. So yeah, it is a is an aberration in their songwriting style, but it's really the beginning of it that that compels me.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, when I close my eyes before I go to bed at night, I either hear the intro to Fiction or Veracity or Vacant Planets by Death.
I think I told you this before because I know that, and I'm so glad you shared that with listeners. You may have in another episode, but I always say, this is why we're friends, right
I
there.
am the real one of the real joys of my life is that I can say that I have played and made music with people that is in the same slipstream as this stuff. Not saying it's as good, not saying anything like that, but that I would be able to be a part of this tradition is, it means everything to me.
Well, you totally are, and I know you're dancing around it because you're in the band, but Canvas Solaris was a clear, they were clearly exciting when you guys came out, and even early on with the Flesh Sequence and then beyond, where oh, this band is upholding this beautiful tradition of these short-lived bands, or at least short-lived parts of discographies, because as Oblivion will do, by the third album they really simplified and kind of changed, took out some things that we liked a lot about them. I'm not going to slag on those two albums, and we'll talk about those after we talk about Nemesis probably a little bit before we sign off. But like Oblivion was just that special rare breed of tech thrash, right? What we call tech metal, tech thrash, tech whatever. Everybody knows what that is by now if you're listening to this program. But I get what you mean. And I get, I hear distinct Mekong Delta vibes in
Yeah,
Fiction of Veracity.
another, yeah, worshipful band that we've covered. So yeah, totally.
Yeah, exactly. Corner. You've covered Mekong Delta?
No, I'm saying you and I have.
I thought you meant Canvas Solaris did a cover
No,
song.
you and I.
You can see how I would think that, because you might have done a you did a Corner
Mekong
cover.
Delta covered a lot of stuff too. No,
Yes,
that's a
Mekong Delta did cover a lot of stuff. That's a good point.
that when
Anyway,
James King said this is the most pointless 7-inch ever recorded.
no, not at all. I treasure that thing.
Well, and he does too, but he was
Good.
still like, this is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. It's a beautiful thing. I'm so glad it exists. We need more albums out there with the corner strip on it.
Thank you, Matt Johnson, for your design.
For sure. So the Fab Four of Oblivion will always remain. And they're even back now with, I guess they're playing live shows. I have no idea if they're going to record, but three of these four guys are still in the band. But Alain Demare, I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, was a drummer. Pierre Remillard, guitarist. Now he's done a lot of production and studio work in the
Tons.
intervening years. Lots of good stuff. Has worked with Voivod. So there you go there. Martin Gagne, a guitarist as well, and Stefan Picard on vocals and bass. Now, his voice, I've always been a big fan of. He's sort of this meeting point between Max Cavalera, I guess a little bit of Ron Royce, but I
Sorry,
almost
yeah,
hear more.
God, dude, you
I
headed
almost
me
hold
off
on.
you headed me off at the pass.
I
All
had you off
right.
the pass, but hold on. I'm going to add, and I think he's more like Tom G. Warrior, especially if you not a particular era of Warrior, but if you take everything from Morbid Tales to Vanity to Nemesis, put it in a blender, this is the sort of Tom G. essence I get from his voice. And again, we love that guy. We think of him as not only a great composer and visionary, but like I think he's a great vocalist. Like I really like his character. He's got a shit ton of character, and I think Picard does as well. So this is the lineup that created all the classic Oblivion, in our opinion.
I'm a
So
bigger fan of Ron Royce than you are as a vocalist.
no, I mean I think I made a little too little of that on the Our Corner episode, but like I like him a ton. It just took me a long time to like him a ton. Do you know what I'm saying? Like I think
Yeah.
those first 10 years, even when Corner was going, even when I saw him live once, I thought he was always good. I just thought he lagged behind the rest of all the performances in Corner. Do you know what I mean? Vocally, not bass wise, because fucker's a motherfucker on bass. Always.
Nobody's gonna nobody's gonna slide in for his base.
No, but just in my listening since in the intervening years, that's when I started to think, oh my God, this guy's great vocally. But yes, yeah, I think you probably still are a bigger Ron Royce fan because you always were. You never doubted Royce.
Yeah, I've always just I don't know, man. I've always had a an affection for his His voice, I always thought it just fit so well. I always thought he had a real charisma, I guess. A lot of it's his phrasing, not just the actual quality of his voice.
There's kind of a cool to him, right? That Tom G doesn't have. Like he's just kind of like more like not worried about it.
Yeah, that's exactly it, man. That's
Okay.
exactly it. Yep.
I don't want to say laid back. I just want to say more cool.
And if you see live clips of them from like, I don't know, I think probably like the middle vortex area, he looks super nonplussed on stage.
Oh
He's
yeah.
just like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And then he's just like ripping shit up on bass. And then, yeah. But I'm Limitless, son. Like,
Hold on. Has it become a corner episode? That's the question.
all right. No, it hasn't. Let's get back to Oblivion.
We've already done one of those. Listeners, go back if you haven't checked it out. Our very chaotic but fun corner episode we did. Now we're going to move on to this.
Becoming increasingly chaotic. So, yeah,
I
because
thought
of
we were so on track until your goddamn corner diversion. But
damn corner musings.
I think I brought him up first, so it's my bad. So we're going to move to the penultimate track, Access to the Acropolis. Now this is an instrumental, and I'm not
Also
sure if it conveys.
badass song title.
It's a totally badass song title, but I'm not sure the instrumental as it is as an instrumental really conveys the frustration I've had in getting access to the Acropolis. I don't know about you.
Look, I've tried paying off the guards. I've tried tunneling down. Yeah, it's fucking impossible.
I know it's tough, but I think they convey maybe the desperation and morbidity of the whole
They put
experience.
up the velvet rope on Fridays. It's just like, oh, sorry, man. I forgot to wear my Versace.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking
Access to the Acropolis is
rock
not
and
easy to get. Obviously, some great riffing, some amazing passages there. This band does a lot of the things we want to hear in metal of any era. What I will say about this song, and I want to know if you agree with me, Hunter, or see it differently, but there are, and that's very thrash. You were saying earlier about how, well, maybe this band doesn't totally fall into the thrash thing, but that right there kind of shows obviously their roots in that world. But something like Death Angels Ultraviolence or Agent Steel's Dea Guyana,
Mm.
those instrumentals sound like they were written intentionally as instrumentals. And then there's something like Destruction's Thrash Attack on Infernal Overkill, which is awesome. It's all awesome. All these things are awesome. I certainly love those Death Angel and Agent Steel instrumentals. Those are incredible. But like Destruction's Thrash Attack sounds like a vocal track was just kind of either wiped or they just didn't come up with vocals in time for the album, and we're just hearing this instrumental. It's fine. You're getting a lot of great riffs. I feel like Access to the Acropolis is one that could have had vocals. It doesn't sound like it was intentionally written as an instrumental, but
I
wanted
was
what?
thinking, yeah. So, I was listening to Leave Scars recently, and
Yes.
Cauterization sounds like that to me.
Like it was written as an instrumental?
No, like it could have had vocals.
Oh, interesting. See, I disagree with that.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, oh yeah. I think cauterization is meant to be this bludgeoning,
It
not,
is, but
well,
I
it's
can
all
hear Don
bludgeoning, but
Doty all
okay.
over that thing. Yeah.
You can
I can
hear
hear
what
Don Doty like losing his mind or sorry, or
you
I
want to
could
edit that out.
hear Ron Reinhart going hard over that thing.
Okay. I mean, that'd be cool to hear, although I don't think I'd want to hear that. I like the break we get from Ron on Leave Scars. We get that. What's the other one? Worms or
Oh,
maggots? What's
Worms.
the
Well, Worms is
yeah.
totally different.
Of
Worms is
course, of
like
course.
an atmospheric, weird, yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, you get this break from Ron because I like Ron, especially on Leave Scars. I think that's my favorite Ron album between the two of them. But I also like the break. And I think cauterization maybe is always just how I wanted it. So maybe that's why I think of it as an instrumental. But what about Access to the Acropolis? Do you think that was written intentionally as an instrumental?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you're in the
No.
camp of Thrash Attack then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Okay.
No, I don't. It could easily support vocals.
Still, it's cool.
So it's great, but I think it could, but sometimes I wonder, it's also like the trend of thrash bands of that age to have a cover song on an album. And it's like maybe Oblivion was like, let's just leave vocals off of one song.
They're right, sure.
Because
Okay.
like that was also, de rigueur of thrash bands, you have the late 80s, early 90s.
That's
So,
very true. Yeah.
yeah.
I think th sometimes in metal, too much is made of the instrumental. I don't, for instance, I don't like when Metal Archives denotes that every song on every disc album in every discography is instrumental if it's instrumental. Like, I feel like that's, it doesn't matter. It's just an instrument. Like, vocals are an instrument, you know, it just because it doesn't have second guitar, they don't announce that it doesn't have second guitar, you know, like it's
Yeah,
just,
single guitar song.
no,
Yeah.
I really don't. I think too much is made. I think it's all part of the stew. And like, I've always welcomed the non-vocal metal stuff. I mean, if it works, if it's good, you know, and
Obviously, yeah.
your shit band happened to be part of that, you know.
Yeah, exactly. It's pure shit.
Pure shit, absolute. Canvas Solaris, pure shit.
Pure shit.
So let's go to the final song on From This Day Forward called Chrono Craze.
Also a great song title. I don't know
Yes.
what the fuck it means, but I like it.
Chrono Craze.
What a way to wrap up that album.
I think that's a highlight. I think that's a s album bookended by its best songs. I mean, I love Fiction of Veracity, but I'm probably going with the bookends. Uh-oh, you might hate me now.
I mean, we've had our spats.
Marty, check it out. We're not
Hey,
agreeing.
Marty, we haven't agreed on everything.
I'll text him right now.
Dude. No, it's hard to argue with it. It's got so much energy. It's got all the things that I love about Oblivion, like
Yeah.
that dude, that like the delay or chorus that they
Oh
the lead guitar is so
yeah.
characteristic and just send you straight out into space.
I hear a little of this is it's dissimilar because I'm talking about a guitar team, where here we're just talking about basically one lead style, I suppose. But it's a little psychotic waltzy in some ways in terms of how
I was
cosmic the
so hoping you were going to say that.
Ah, so you've heard
Oh
it
my
though.
God, yes, dude, and
Okay, yeah.
totally. And the Rock McAlpin guitar team is one of my favorites of all time,
Oh yeah,
obviously.
we've waxed all over that stuff. Yeah,
Yes,
man. Yeah, man.
that's such a great point, and I totally agree.
Here's another thing, that break, and then you get the wah guitar again with that effect on it that you're talking about, but it's like it's by itself for a few seconds, and suddenly you're like in this like weird infinite cosmic warehouse. It's like this becomes this like it's not fancy, but it's just like it's such a great little like lonely moment almost, right?
Love that. I love that. Yeah, it's like I mean, again, to go back to Voivod, like the forgotten in space sort of ethos. You know,
Oh yeah,
like that
yes.
idea of just being left alone in the cosmic.
Tangela, you brought up my favorite Voivod song. What's going to happen now? I mean, that might be my favorite Voivod song of all
It's
time.
one of them. It's one of them.
And Forgotten in Space is its own ethos, man. It's just that
It
song has its own, has yeah. Like you could create albums from that, you know, if they
Well,
wanted.
Kamen ripped off the intro like at least four times on Jupiter.
Oh
So,
wow, yeah. Do you know
all
Agor?
right, second time Kamen got brought up tonight, too.
And well, here's the first time Agoraphobic Nosebleed will be brought up, but Agoraphobic Nosebleed did a cover of Forgotten in Space.
No shit.
And they did most of it. Like there was, you know, their songs are like 30 seconds
I
average.
was about to say, what did they like? How did they
I
do
think it
that?
was like 6 minutes. It's kind of impressive. It's the only thing I've loved by them, but you know, that's a band I appreciate just in general, on
Yeah,
paper.
same. I
Lo
actually
love the
most.
Forgotten in Space cover. I just there's something so like brazen about it. Like, we're gonna do this, and then they
That's
kind of do it,
awesome,
you
man.
know?
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
At one
yeah,
point, I actually owned in the early 2000s. I was buying. I don't know, man. It was a weird time. It's like because Canvas was really ramping up, and we were just like you were editing Maniacs, and we were just like high on like everything going on,
yeah.
and also weed, and we're buying a lot. I remember buying shit by like Benum, and I had the Agoraphobic Nosebleed Converge split. No, it was Con was it Converge?
I don't know, but here's the thing, dude. Last
Corpse.
episode, you brought up some crazy ass what 7-inch was it on the previous episode you brought up? Like, what the fuck did you bring that up on an episode?
It's like.
So not related, but somehow we get to your grind 7-inch collection that you had for so long.
I mean, I've still got some of that stuff, but like, I just remember us being like really enthused about everything. Like,
Right.
and I've always been a really discriminating listener, but I remember that
Oh,
time
I was there too.
my
Yeah,
life just
absolutely.
being like, I'm gonna buy everything I can buy.
Yeah, no, I was doing a
Info
zine where,
relapse. Ooh, fuck it. Yeah, I know. Let's see, Lost Soul. Dude,
Okay,
I had
hold on.
like the Brazilian assault, the Polish assault, and all that shit. Yeah.
I love it, dude. I love it. So,
Anywho.
Let's go back to From This Day Forward. Any issues that we have with it? I suppose the cover could have been better, the original cover. I once heard it called the Flintstones cover, and then I just haven't been able to unsee that. You know what I mean?
Oh,
Like,
God. I wish you hadn't have said that.
I know, but I still like it. I think it works. It works for me. Some of the reissues have been fine too. The
Yeah.
only thing, Hunter, here's something, Hunter. Again, a Marty alert, if in case we disagree. There's only one real moment that I don't like on this album. I've come to like the Fiction of Veracity break that we talked about that seems kind of uncomfortable at first. But Droidomized, a song on the album, another great song title, like Chronicraze, Droidomized. Droidomized has a little bit in some riffs, a little bit too skateboard moshy for me.
No, we disagree.
Okay. I'm hearing something. Yeah, Suicidal Tendencies meets Gothic Slam meets the worst Sacred Reich.
I like Suicidal, and I'm
I just
fine.
don't like his
I hear
voice.
what you're I hear what you're saying.
I don't like his voice. I the third album is great. How Can We Live Tomorrow if we can't? What is that? What is that album?
Yeah, if we can't cry today, or
You
yeah.
wipe his voice and put a good vocalist on that, I'm in. But I just can't handle Mike Muir's voice. It's just me. It's just me, man.
It's all right. It's all right.
All right.
We agree about DRI, because I like same thing with the voice. I think I would really like DRI with a different vocalist.
We've talked
Yeah.
about that too, Kurt Breck. Let's go into Nemesis now. I think that's we've covered Sacred Reich. The segues have been too long. Let's pull her back, baby. Let's pull her back. So,
Should I revisit Independence at some time?
no.
Okay.
Jesus, did you actually ask that question?
Yeah, I owned that at one point.
No.
Thanks to Don K.
No. That's like a what they call a half thrash groove sort of post thrash
I know.
album. It's not good. Anyway, you motherfucker. So by the time the album came out, you know, they added four songs to the 92 promo or whatever it was called when it came out, and came up with an eight song album this time. It's just an absolute monster. And it is so for me because it's Oblivion at their highest point. They just found their thing. They perfected it. Each of these eight songs is awesome. Like there's
You know,
nothing on this album to want.
some of our most diligent and train spotting listeners may correct me on this, but seldom in the history of radical research have I called anything a perfect album.
Oh,
I
here we go.
probably have. I've probably called something a perfect album before. I'm not saying that, but this, in my estimation, is a perfect album.
Can't
There's
argue that
nothing
against
about
that.
it I would change.
You can't always trust Metal Archives reviews, but I think they're pretty strong generally. Pretty good litmus test for what people think out there. This has four reviews and it's a 96%er. I think if it had 100 reviews, it would be a 96%er. I would put it at 100 too. I think it's a perfect album. Certainly talked about Moving Pictures as a perfect album. I think Voivod made some perfect albums, but like Moving Pictures, like Nemesis, is and we're talking Canadians apparently a lot.
Okay, the three bands we just mentioned with perfect albums are all Canadian.
No, but like there's nothing in Nemesis, like Moving Pictures, that you want to take away or even add. It's not only fine, but perfect as is. You know, it.
I would say that the principal difference with something like Moving Pictures is you get a lot of range across the spread of the album.
Sure.
You don't get that here.
It's
And what I love about it
a
is that
little,
they
yeah.
like have locked into this formula, and they're the only band on earth that does Nemesis the way that Nemesis can be done.
It's an interesting album because it's progressive, yet it's also pretty single-minded. And
That's what I'm saying. It's
we don't
very,
say that about a lot of progressive albums.
yeah, it's monomaniacal in what it does. Yeah, totally. It has a mission. And it just, its mission is to kill humans.
It is a malevolent album, I think. It's a
I
cold
do like,
album.
I don't think, yeah, dude, I totally agree. I don't like, and even the cover art speaks of that. It
Love the
looks,
cover art.
what's called Nemesis? It's not called Friend. This album is against
Oh
you.
God,
Yeah.
wow. That's a great observation.
But I mean, it is, and that's a great point, Jeff. And nobody really talks about that with this album, but because you don't really think about this is a whole other conversation for me, because this is like a point of contention for me about tech metal and shit, because I think tech metal is super deadly and lethal, just in a different way than death and black metal. But
Absolutely.
this album fucking kills. And let's just go ahead and provide the evidence.
Well, for one, Hunter, now I want to pull out this album and listen to it a good while for the next couple of weeks. This is simply one of my favorite metal albums. It's amazing. And that's the title track. As good as From This Day Forward is, Nemesis threatens to delete it. It's powerful. The vocals are hugely improved. I mean, they're vicious and malevolent and mad. And listen to the orchestra. It's fucking churning in this machine-like way that they were only hinting at, I think, on the first album.
When I was listening to that snippet, I was like, I don't care who your band is, fuck your band. Your band will never be this good.
Superior, with what
I
it's
mean,
doing, I think. Yeah.
this is the mountaintop for me.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know what's weird about this album, dude? This was self-released when it came out.
Dude, I bought this from Oblivion.
You had to then.
I have the postcard that Pierre wrote me. Yeah, I bought the cassette from the band. They were brokering a deal with Century Media and it fell apart.
Yeah, I'd heard something like that. I mean, I know some labels were interested, but it's just weird how they couldn't come to agreement. Metal Blade, somebody out there, certainly in 93. I mean, look at who had Atheist. Where was Roadrunner? Roadrunner were already trying to figure out how to sell death metal in 93. Like, oh, we did it in 91, but 93 is a different story. But why would we take this, like, what was usually called a thrash band? What I want to say, we talk about this. This is a 1993 album. Obviously, we've talked about this year more than any other year, probably on this podcast. But the four that I mentioned, well, that's me too. But the four that I mentioned as a 92 tape actually came out in 91. So it took them a long time to get the other four tracks on going. And they, it took them 2 years about. And then this self-released. It's such an interesting album historically in terms of that as well, right?
It
But
speaks to Pierre's incredible production virtuosity.
yeah,
It
right.
sounds It's an amazing sounding record.
Yeah, to this day, I don't think it needs anything.
I don't think it needs a remaster. I mean, the mix is really rich. Oh God, I love the drum tones. Everything about it, I wouldn't change anything.
So the second song was called "The Thinker's Lair." We're not going to play that one, but I love the song. I also love the song title, "The Thinker's Lair." That's pretty good. This is the third song, a bit from Obscure Mind Ways.
Back
Oh,
to
yeah.
your observation about Psychotic Waltz, and not to belabor the point, but it's hard for me to think of a lot of other guitar, I mean, a lot of great guitar themes in heavy metal history, whether it be Merciful Fate, whether it be Judas Priest, Queensryche, but I think Oblivion's in that caliber. In terms of the way that those two guitarists respond to each other and play with each other and what they're able to communicate together.
Absolutely. Martin and Pierre have to be here. Again, not to belabor the psychotic waltz point, but it has to be those two guys. And it's also got this similar sort of chiming, airy, cosmic quality. I think, you know, there's a thread to all the dual guitarists we're talking about here, whether it's
Yeah, sure.
Priest or Merciful Fate. Each of those teams has this balance of a super fucking ferocious aggression and this kind of silky melodic sensibility. Do you know what I mean? Like,
Yep.
and
Yep.
it all comes together with these teams. And yeah,
Say
Martin
the
and
same thing
Pierre.
about yeah, about Jason and Paul and Cynic.
Totally. Yeah. This is one that was on the demonstration tape 91. This is a very favorite of mine, Factory of Delusions. I'm so glad I picked the first album snippets, basically, and you picked the second. And good pick on this one.
Imagine your obsolescence. No need to think, but secretly I do.
So Hunter, 2001: A Space Odyssey is one of my top five favorite movies of all time. I've seen it many times on the huge screen, on a big screen, on a small screen.
No, it's absolutely one of my favorite films as well.
Yeah, I think we share that. And when I can put this kind of metal to that imagery, or if that sort of imagery, I often think of the floating astronaut, the spinning astronaut. When I could put that kind of imagery to this sort of metal, it's like you, man. It's where how I want to fall asleep. It's like it's what I want for breakfast.
This is it, man.
This is it. And
This
that guitar work, that let's just
is
keep talking about the guitars, not to take anything away from the rhythm section or the awesome vocals throughout the album, but this is a great guitar album. I mean, metal or otherwise. I think we hear the evidence.
I feel humbled tonight having listened to this and attempted to do any kind of justice to it.
Nemesis will humble, man.
This is it for me.
Yeah, it's monolithic. It's one of the greats.
Yep.
Before we get to Strays of the Soul, let's talk real quick about where they went. They added a vocalist for the third and fourth albums, and then they broke up for a very long time. I tried those when they came out. The third one was called Cyber Void. The fourth one was called Carnivore Mothermouth. And I will tell you, I love the production on Carnivore Mothermouth. I think it's one of Pierre's best sounds. Like, that is a great sounding record. It's better sounding than any Meshuggah record. It's got such a good rounded warm bottom end for a record like that. The problem is it's too groovy for my general metal taste, especially music from that time. Late 90s groove metal is not usually a thing I get into. And Cyber Void was what 96,
95.
95. A little better. Still, you can hear the Nemesis band here. The vocalist is not as good, in my opinion. It doesn't have as much character, and they went too machine heady
It was
in
not what
spot.
I wanted to hear.
Okay, yeah. So you're with me all the way on those two records.
But I was also in a and I still stand by that, but in 95 I was already my head was in a different place already. I mean, I wasn't listening to a lot of tech metal then. I was more interested in Europe, getting into black metal and all the, cool atmospheric experimental stuff coming out of Europe. But I mean, this is one of my favorite metal records. And
Yeah.
so naturally I have an allegiance to this band, and I checked. I got Cyber Void, and it was a real, real letdown for me.
I tried it a few times when it came out and just couldn't muster the enthusiasm I have for Nemesis or the first album. But yeah, we're going to end with Strays of the Soul. This is a 6-minute song that ends the album. Thanks for listening. So appreciate everyone. But yeah, Strays of the Soul, another great pick, man. What an album. It's like going through moving pictures and trying to say
I
anything.
was like, I mean, it's pretty easy to to do the snippets. I mean, it's like, yeah, you could just pick anything.
I know. It's yeah, I was in the Voivod book. I remember writing that Best of Voivod that came out on Noise in like 90, 93, I think it was. It had no Outer Limits stuff. It just had stuff from the one and only original lineup. And it was called the Best of Voivod. But and whatever the tracks were, they were fine. Like it's a fine comp. I don't, you and I are people that don't listen to best ofs or comps, but like, it was a great comp. Like you put that on for you, like this is the Voivod story right here. This is fucking exactly what it is.
Yeah.
But you could do that with any 12 songs in their discography, any other 12 songs, any other set of 12 songs. Like it didn't matter like what the pick was, like it,
Right.
as long as you hit every album, there you go. And you're absolutely right about this. Yeah, Strays of the Soul, man.
When the artist to defy the reason, you find yourself in a deep confusion. Reach the wisdom of the older self, otherwise your mind is blocked and strange to learn. Turn if you go back. It makes it grow. It grows and grows through you. But what do you get? What you already had? Confusion, anxiety grows. Confusion, anxiety grows. A load of thoughts scribbles and words. Thoughts you believe to be solutions, but all the answers bring their questions. Technical reproduction. Confusion, anxiety grows. Confusion, anxiety grows. Raoul is crippled and muddled up, strained to blood. That's enough, that thing must stop. Spread the blood. All is crumbled and muddled up.
So Hunter, I can only listen to that and think, why has this stuff still not... And maybe it has. I could be completely out of touch at this point, but like, why hasn't it received some sort of big deluxe reissue?
I think it has. I haven't gotten my hands on them. But Matt Johnson was telling me that but the first two have, maybe all four, but the first two have definitely gotten pretty big reissues.
I know they've had reissues. I just wonder, like, I
You
don't
mean
know, man.
like a big label?
I think partly a big label, but all, not so much big label, but more fanfare. Like, it's just still seems like nobody but weirdos like you and I care about this band. And I think they're better than that. I certainly think Nemesis is a classic metal album.
This is
I think it
not, yeah, this is
deserves.
not, yeah. This is not, us, prattling on about Oxyplegates or about Pyogenesis. This is classic metal. This is some of the greatest metal ever made.
Right, now, no doubt about it. I mean, of course, yeah, and that's a really good point. And I think we can end it there. I hope people go out and check it out if they weren't familiar, and I hope that the people familiar thought we did some kind of justice to Oblivion. These two albums have sustained us, both of us, Hunter and I, for as since they've come out. And yeah, we can't thank the band enough. Next episode. I think on my docket, and I know I mentioned this to you earlier, and you were down. I think it'd be really fun with some diversions into Carnivore, later Typo, and maybe even non-Peter Steele stuff to do Slow, Deep, and Hard.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
Because
Yeah,
I
we
think
talked about
there's so much there. And that is a you talk about
it.
another
Yeah, that's a
classic.
there's a lot to
Okay.
yeah. Yeah, dude. Yeah, that'd be awesome.